Okay, now back to David and all his problems. So you think you've got problems. Well, David's got lots of problems. So remember, we just finished where David has now fully recognized Absalom again. He's come back to Jerusalem, and David has allowed him to come into his presence. And Absalom doesn't waste any time in starting to execute his plans to take over. I think he's probably been, you know, he's been plotting the murder of his brother and all that, but I think he was also plotting all this as well. 2 Samuel chapter 15. And it came to pass after this that Absalom prepared him chariots and horses and 50 men to run before him. That sounds more like a king, doesn't it? And Absalom rose up early and stood beside the way of the gate. And it was so that when any man that had a controversy came to the king for judgment, then Absalom called unto him and said, "Of what city art thou?" And he said, "Thy servant is one of the tribes of Israel." So he said, "Oh, I'm from Dan," or "I'm from Benjamin," or whatever. And Absalom said unto him, "See, thy matters are good and right, but there is no man deputed of the king to hear thee." Absalom said, "Moreover, oh, that I was made judge in the land, that every man which hath any suit or cause might come to me, and I would do him justice." So now he's playing the politician. He's getting up early and getting there when the people come for whatever grievance they have or whatever need they have. He says, "Oh, you know, but if you come to me, I'll solve all your problems. I'll see that you get there. Your case sounds right to me. I'll take care of it." You know, lots of promises. And it was so that when any man came nigh to him to do obeisance, he put forth his hands and took him and kissed him. So now he's a man of the people. You know, they come to bow down, and so he raises them up, gives them a big hug, you know. And on this manner did Absalom to all Israel that came to the king for judgment. So Absalom stole the hearts of the men of Israel. I tell you what, we are such suckers. It doesn't take much, does it? A few promises, a few things like that, and here we go. And it, you can see it still happens today. And it came to pass after 40 years that Absalom said unto the king, "I pray thee, let me go and pay my vow, which I vowed unto the Lord in Hebron. For thy servant vowed a vow which I, when I abode in Geshur in Syria, saying, if the Lord shall bring me again indeed to Jerusalem, then I will serve the Lord." No, then he will serve Absalom. And the king said unto him, "Go in peace." So he arose and went to Hebron. But Absalom sent spies throughout all the tribes of Israel, saying, "As soon as you hear the sound of the trumpet, then you shall say, Absalom reigneth in Hebron." So, pure rebellion. He said, "That's it. You know, I'm going to take over." And so, now that he gets out of the way where he can, he sends out people to announce, you know, Absalom is now the king. And with Absalom went 200 men out of Jerusalem that were called, and they went in their simplicity. They knew not anything. So 200 of the king's guard go with him, but they just thought, okay, we're just going with the king's son. They didn't know what he was up to. But they left, which has weakened David's protection. And Absalom sent for Ahithophel, the Gilonite, David's counselor, from his city, even from Gilo, when he offered sacrifices. And the conspiracy was strong, for the people increased continually with Absalom. And there came a messenger to David, saying, "The hearts of the men of Israel are after Absalom." And David said unto all his servants that were with him at Jerusalem, "Arise, and let us flee, for we shall not else escape from Absalom. Make speed to depart, lest he overtake us suddenly and bring evil upon us and smite the city with the edge of the sword." So before David catches on, or at least before he does anything about it, Absalom is so strong he can't stop him. He's let it get completely out of hand. Well, we do that now too. We just think, oh, you know, it won't be that bad. We just let things go and go and go. And then by the time we realize that it's a desperate situation, our enemies are too strong. It's too late. I know one man, I forget who it was, he was saying, you know, he was in Germany in the time of Hitler. He said, you know, first they came for the Jews, and I didn't say anything. Then they came for the mentally ill. They came for the homosexuals. They came for this. They came for that, and I didn't say anything. He said, now they come for me, and there's no one left to speak up for me. Okay? So inch by inch, we let evil take over. It will always, every time, unless good men stand up for what's right. And so David now has said, it's too late. We got to flee for our lives, or Absalom is just going to come and take us over. So he's so weak now, and Absalom has enough people that he can't even defend Jerusalem. And the king's servants said unto the king, behold, thy servants are ready to do whatsoever my lord the king shall appoint. So the ones that are still there are loyal to David. It's like, lead on. You know, he should have started leading sooner. But now he said, okay, whatever you say, we'll do. We'll stay here and fight. We'll go with you, whatever you say. And the king went forth, and all his household after him. And the king left 10 women, which were concubines, to keep the house. And the king went forth, and all the people after him, and tarried in a place that was far off. And all his servants passed on beside him, and all the Cherethites and Pelethites and all the Gittites, 600 men, which came after him from Gath, passed on before the king. Then said the king to Ittaiah the Gittite, wherefore goest thou also with us? Return to thy place and abide with the king, for thou art a stranger and also an exile. Whereas thou camest but yesterday, should I this day make thee go up and down with us? Seeing I go whither I may, return thou and take back thy brethren, mercy and truth be with thee. And Ittai answered the king and said, as the Lord liveth, and as my lord the king liveth, surely in what place my lord the king shall be, whether in death or life, even there also will thy servant be. So apparently he's a foreigner that's come, you know, David, he said, you know, you don't have any part in this, just go on. You know, you don't have to be a part of this. And he said, no, my loyalty is with you. Wherever you go, I go. And it's like Ruth to Naomi. And David said to Ittai, go and pass over. And Ittai the Gittite passed over, and all his men and all the little ones that were with him. And all the country wept with a loud voice, and all the people passed over. The king also himself passed over the brook Kidron, and all the people passed over toward the way of the wilderness. And lo, Zadok's the priest, and also the Levites were with him, bearing the ark of the covenant of God. And they set down the ark of God, and Abiathar went up until all the people had done passing out of the city. So they're like, well, you know, we're taking the ark with us. That's the symbol of God's presence. And so they take the ark and they leave it there as everybody goes, everybody passes by. And the king said to Zadok, carry back the ark of God into the city. If I shall find favor in the eyes of the Lord, he will bring me again and show me both it and his habitation. So they're trying to take God's blessing with them. And of course, we know what happened. When they fought the Philistines, they brought the ark. They just got it captured and so forth. And so David said, no, put it back in its place. Take care of the ark. Leave it in its place of honor in Jerusalem. And he said, if God has favor on me and we can come back into power, it'll be there waiting for us. And if not, it doesn't matter. But if he thus say, I have no delight in thee, behold, here am I. Let him do to me as seemeth good unto him. The king said also unto Zadok the priest, art not thou a seer or a prophet? Return into the city in peace, and your two sons with you, Ahimaaz, thy son, and Jonathan, the son of Abiathar. See, I will tarry in the plain of the wilderness until there come word from you to certify me. And Zadok, therefore, and Abiathar carried the ark of God again to Jerusalem, and they tarried there. So he said, you're the priest, take the ark, go back, and then you can send word to me when it's time to come back or whatever's going on. And David went up by the ascent of the Mount of Olivet, so he's heading up east out of Jerusalem over the Mount of Olives, and wept as he went up, and had his head covered, and he went barefoot. And all the people that was with him covered every man his head, and they went up weeping as they went. So they're mourning. And one told David, saying, Ahithophel is among the conspirators with Absalom. So Ahithophel is his privy council. He's the one there to give him advice and this and that. But he's turned over and gone with Absalom. And David said, O Lord, I pray thee, turn the counsel of Ahithophel into foolishness. Okay. I mean, Ahithophel was a wise counselor, but true wisdom comes from God. If God doesn't bless the wisdom, then it's not wisdom. And it came to pass that when David was come to the top of the mount where he worshipped God, behold, Hushai the Archite came to meet him with his coat rent and earth upon his head. And unto whom David said, if thou passest on with me, thou shalt be a burden unto me. But if thou return to the city and say unto Absalom, I will be thy servant, O king, as I have been thy father's servant here too, so will I now also be thy servant, that thou mayest defeat the counsel of Ahithophel. So Hushai is loyal to David. Ahithophel is gone with Absalom, but he said, Hushai, you go back. You can do me more good thwarting the counsel of Ahithophel than you can with me. So just go back and tell Absalom, I serve the king, you're the new king, so I'll serve you. So he's a spy. Okay? That's nothing new. And hast thou not there with thee Zadok and Abiathar the priests? So he said, you've got two loyal people there. You know who your friends are. Therefore it shall be that when thou soever thou shalt hear out of the king's house, thou shalt tell it to Zadok and Abiathar the priests. Behold, they have there with them their two sons, Ahimaaz, Zadok's son, and Jonathan, Abiathar's son. And by them ye shall send unto me everything that ye can hear. So David has set him up a spy room. He's got him informants there within the palace of Absalom and said, hey, you got these two young sons. They won't be suspicious. Just have them pass word to them. They can sneak out and bring word to me. So Hushai, David's friend, came into the city, and Absalom came into Jerusalem. Okay, so David is definitely reaping the consequences of his sin. I mean, he's got 10 concubines left in the house. We'll see how that turns against him later. And he never did do anything, and so Absalom has just completely rebelled. He didn't deal with Absalom. He got away with murder. And David just let it slide, didn't do anything. Now maybe you understand why Solomon wrote the Proverbs to his son to be wise. So Solomon wanted to make sure he raised his son right. Okay, because Absalom, he can see all the damage that Absalom caused to David. Because David let Absalom, you know, spare the rod and spoil the child. Okay, well, this is an extreme example of that. Because now he's decided, hey, Dad, if you're not going to run this, I will. And so that's the nature hates a vacuum. Whatever, there's a vacuum of power. If David's going to let it slide, then Absalom says, hey, it's my chance. I'm going to come in, I'm going to take over, and I'm going to be the king, run this the way I want to do it. And so he does that even to the point of completely rebelling against his father. I mean, this is, you know, absolute and complete rebellion, and he's going to try to take over. And right now, it's a bad situation. David and his supporters have had to flee the city in fear of their lives, and he's still out to kill them. I mean, that's nothing new for David, right? He's had the king out trying to kill him for a long time. But so he has to flee, but he didn't just completely abandon it. He sent back some trusted, loyal servants that would go back and get him word and keep track of it. So David hasn't given up. He still has his faith in God that God will turn this around, but he certainly is paying a price in his children for his lack of dealing with his responsibilities. So let's close in prayer, and we'll take a break. Father, we do thank you for your blessings. We thank you for what you can teach us from the past, from the right things that were done and from the wrong things. And may we learn from that and seek your face and know that you are in control and in charge of all things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.